Pentecost. I mentioned last week that we come to the end of the Easter season, and we had the Ascension last weekend, and now this is the Feast of Pentecost. This is the only feast in the church's year that focuses solely on you and I. All of the other feasts in the church's calendar focus on either Jesus, Mary, the saints, the martyrs. But this one is your feast day. Pentecost comes from the Greek word 50. Historically, it was attached to the end of the 7 weeks after the first harvest of grain. It was also attached to the time when Moses received the Ten Commandments. And you may recall that when he received the Ten Commandments and the words of the commandments were given to him, that it came to him through wind and fire on the top of Mount Sinai. And then 50 days after that, 7 weeks, 50 days, they began the festival of what was called weeks, did the Hebrew people. And that was to celebrate the end of the first harvest of grain, as I said. In the Christian tradition, we adopt the Jewish heritage. So 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, 7 weeks, we don't celebrate the Feast of Weeks. We take on the 50, the Pentecost. And that becomes, for us, the beginning of a new harvest, if you like. It's not easy for some people to understand. I remember hearing in one movie once two chaps talking, and they said, "I don't know whether I believe in God." And the other one says, "My mother always says we've got to wait for the Pentecost." And that's incorrect scripturally. We don't wait for the Pentecost. It has occurred. We celebrate it at this feast day once a year, which is always. The calendar is always a reminder to hook into our real life what has been part of our spiritual journey and the life of the church as a whole. It's another day when we plug in, but it's us that actually receive the benefit. We do in all of the other feast days as well, by virtue of intercession. But today, the celebration of the outpouring of the Spirit is upon each and every one of you. And myself, not more to me than to you, and no less to you than to Pope Francis. The outpouring of the Spirit is not done by quantity. It is up to us to determine the quality of the Spirit's action in our life. Historically, this day in the Western Church is celebrated with the colour red, which is one of joy. It is also one of the colours of the martyrdom, but it is always the colour of the Holy Spirit, representing fire. If we look at the language that is used for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, if we look at the language, nearly always is attached the language of water. We talk about the Spirit being poured into us, poured out over us. So from the earliest days, the understanding of the Holy Spirit was attached to water. So for us, water, of course, the living water that starts from our baptism, it is living water because of the Holy Spirit that has been physically poured into us. If you want to understand what the Holy Spirit is, then you really do have to look at baptism, probably more closely than any other of the sacramental experiences in the church. We strengthen all the words that are used from the gifts of the Holy Spirit and from the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are all in baptism. In one sense, some people might think it's my wish list. Well, it's only a wish list if we're not enacting the Spirit in our life. We don't make the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're not wishes for us. We're Christian. Wishes are for fishes. Christians have hope, and we consolidate that hope by prayer and by action. That's what we must do. When our prayer is dull and our action is nearly non-existent, we need to ask more than ever for the Holy Spirit to come into our life. As a dear friend of mine just said to me very recently, I need to find my spiritual mojo. In other words, all of us pan out in the course of our life. Those of you that have experienced the passion of romantic love, it's wonderful for a while, but it does level out. And then we use the words that come from today's scripture. We try our best to rekindle that love. That's where we get the word kindling from, for fire. We bring the fire back into our love. That is the Spirit. We cannot define the Holy Spirit, but we can use symbols that help us understand. And fire is definitely one of them. Wind is definitely another one. I think a living example of the Holy Spirit, active and alive in life, would probably come through John Vanier, who set up the L'Arche communities, small communities across the world, which our parish is very familiar with, to help accommodate in a communal setting those who were physically and mentally handicapped, those who would have spent their life in an institution. But John Vanier saw that an institution smothers the life of people. So bring them into a community where they can experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then they start to blossom. And we experience that with particular individuals here. And it's very true. The one feature that all the handicapped possess in a Jean Vanier communal house is joy. They have joy. Their body and part of their mind may be crippled, but they have joy because they know they are loved in that community. You remove the love from any sphere in your life and you lose the joy. If your relationship is flattening out, look for the joy. If it's not there, then I bet you the love isn't there either. On this feast of the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost, may the Holy Spirit touch you in your lives in a timeless way that affects your lives. Not just the quantity, not just the quality of your living, but particularly the quality of your loving.